Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author also, Matt Williams, and this is actually based on his senior thesis work when I was a faculty member down in Georgia. So the basic idea behind this is that as we look at modern use of soils, we have a lot of things that cause significant compaction in soils today. And so it's rather important that we understand this compaction and that we look at different types of soils and understand, you know, the compaction effects in different types of soils. And so when we decided to go ahead with this particular project, we had a site that we thought would do a number of different things for us in this particular area. First off, the site here is a piece of land. You see the area that's in trees right through here. A piece of land that was that's owned by Valdosta State University, used extensively for teaching and research applications at Valdosta State. And coming into the site, we have a road. This is just a basic, the road that comes back through here, the yellow, blue, and green. It's just a basic two-wheel rut kind of road through the woods. You know, nothing really special or exciting about it. But we know about when the road was established about 50 years or so ago. So we know about how much time is involved with this. We have a little bit of a handle on traffic. We've kind of it's kind of a qualitative handle, but where it says heavy in the yellow, medium in the blue, and then light in the green. That's just in comparison one section to another. The area that's classified as heavy traffic right here, we probably see, you know, in the typical time frame, one or two vehicles every half a month to a month. So it's not that it's really heavy traffic, but it's more heavily trafficked than the other portions of the area here. And then the area that's right here in red, that's shown as a foot or ATV traffic, there's a little creek right here at the break that you can't get a full-size vehicle across. And so if you're doing work out here, you had to unload, jump out, and walk in by foot. Also, the foot ATV traffic area is a much more recently established trail. At the time the study was done, it had been in existence from about 4 to 5 years. And I had actually established a trail myself because I was doing other studies back. There's a borrow pit back in here that we were doing some soil formation kinds of studies in. And so that red area was actually established to give us access, you know, back to the borrow pit. ATV traffic on a couple of occasions, but primarily foot traffic, just loading up a bunch of students, handing them bucket augers and other such fun equipment and having them truck back through the woods with it. So we had these four different areas we thought we'd go in and look at. Look at bulk density in the trafficked areas themselves and alongside the trafficked areas. And then also we thought that we could probably get we've done some work out here, and we thought we could probably get some really uniform soil properties across all four of those sections. So kind of do an apples-to-apples comparison in this particular site. Just to give a little bit of a feel for where we're at, this is South Georgia. Valdosta is located only about 15 or 20 miles north of the Florida border. So we're way down south, and it actually was one of those places where you didn't want to do field work in the summer. It was really fun to go out in January and February and do field work, because it was actually comfortable. So very southern location. This is a look at the kinds of traffic that we're talking about, and the road itself. You can kind of see this picture a little bit dark, but you see the two-wheel rut road just heading back through the woods. 15-passenger vans taking students back in for various activities. The canoe on this one, there's a lake you might have noticed out on this property also, so we do some things in the lake sometimes as well. The SUV here is also pulling a small boat. But so that's the type of traffic that we're dealing with, the kind of road or trail that we're looking at. And so what we did was we went out, we've selected, in each of the four traffic zones, we selected three paired sites. And so each of those paired sites, we go out and we collected bulk density samples within the trail or the road at the surface and at 30 centimeter depth, and then did the same thing off in the woods where we had a more natural type of soil situation, so we could do some comparisons on the amount of compaction that might have taken place. So the trail road surface down at 30 centimeters depth, woods, wood surface, I just went through all of this. So that's where the samples came from. And then, as you can see, it's a typical, went out with a cylinder, known volume, you know, slide hammer on it, and you can see, you know, right down there, this is the bottom of a little, you know, 30-centimeter deep pit, and you see the hole where the sample has come out of. So pretty basic there. And then what I'll talk about today is the bulk density and the textural analysis that we did. Bulk density, of course, to evaluate the compaction that may have occurred, or make comparisons between compaction from place to place. And then we use texture at this site. We're using texture as a measure for how uniform our soils might be from place to place. So this is our textural triangle with a plot of what we found in our textural analysis. So you see the green on this, any of the green dots came from heavily trafficked area, blue from medium, pink from light, and red from the footpath. And you can see we have a very nice cluster down here, very, very sandy soils in this particular location. A few in the loamy sand, one outlier there in sandy loam, but it wasn't at all uncommon to go out at this site and find soils that were 95% sand across this entire about 170-acre property. Very, very sandy soils. So, but we, you know, plotted this up. We felt that, you know, we pretty much compare apples to apples in this case in terms of, you know, looking at compaction in our soils. So when we compare bulk density values. This right here is a look at the average bulk density values from each of those various locations. And so you can see some trends. We got a really beautiful trend of high bulk density in heavy traffic and getting lower as we went to lighter traffic. I don't think I've ever had something work out quite that well for me before in that respect. A couple of other things you can see. We get out into the woods here. That's our kind of natural setting. You see that in each case, we follow what we'd typically expect. We end up with increasing bulk density with depth in those soils. A fairly uniform bulk density within the woods in terms of the values there, and also pretty typical for what we'd expect from just a sandy soil. As we get into the trafficked areas, see we're getting fairly high in what we termed as our heavily trafficked areas. We have that inverted bulk density right there. As we go down to the medium, pretty much the same at the surface and at depth. And then as we go to the light traffic and the foot traffic situation, we're into more of what we'd expect, where we have higher bulk densities with depth in the soil. So we're just some of the trends. This right here, this shows where some statistical analyses were done, looking at the comparisons. So there's a key down here at the bottom for what all these ABCs mean on the chart. But as we go down column A, for example, we're comparing things to the bulk densities to the surface on our heavily trafficked area. So if we take a look at that, the ones that I'm going to talk about today, this just compares the bulk density at the surface of the heavily trafficked area to the bulk density B being at 30 centimeters heavily trafficked area. And you see that there was a difference. It was higher at the surface on this particular site, and that stands up statistically. It was statistically higher. The surface in the woods alongside this high traffic area, those samples were lower in bulk density than the trafficked area, and actually the 30 centimeter sample from out in the woods lined up with the samples from the surface in the heavily trafficked area. Here's our medium trafficked area. You can see, and might have expected this from the previous slide, but the surface and the 130 centimeter depth intervals matched up bulk density wise. Also, the surface matched up with the 30 centimeter interval in the natural soils alongside. Here's our lightly trafficked area. Same thing that we saw on the first site. We match up the surface bulk densities versus the 30 centimeter in the natural soils bulk densities. And then here's our most lightly traveled area, the foot traffic. And in this case, you see that the really interesting one here, I think, is right here, the surface soils and and both the trail and the natural soils actually matched up from a bulk density perspective. We can look also, just very quickly go through, this is a comparison now of the surface in the heavily trafficked areas to the surface in the medium trafficked areas. You can see that the bulk densities were different. We had more compaction where we had more traffic. If we compare the medium to light, statistically speaking, we had no difference there, so it was the same bulk density. And if we compare the lightly trafficked area to the foot traffic area, again, we had a difference in terms of our bulk densities. So that's that particular discussion. So as we go through and we looked at this, we decided that when you look at the results, in all cases, when we're looking at the surface soils on the pathway, the bulk densities were higher than the corresponding bulk densities out there in the woods in our natural soils and all these established pathways, with the exception of our foot traffic. So anywhere we had vehicular traffic, we had differences, we had changes. Where we had foot traffic, we didn't. Now, whether that's a function of the foot traffic not compacting these soils or a function of the fairly short period of establishment of that particular trail, this study, of course, doesn't address that issue or can't tease that out. But at this site, at least over the time that had been established, the foot traffic doesn't seem to be causing any major issues. And it should be noted, too, the foot traffic was pretty light. I was the only one that really utilized that site back there. When I would teach my soils class, we'd spend the first portion of the semester going back and looking at soils back there in that borrow pit. But that was only every other year, and so that was the heaviest traffic I ever got, was about once a week every other year, and then whenever I'd go out to do research. But so it wasn't a very heavily trafficked footpath, not like being in a state park or something where we got people on there on a daily basis. So we had a very definite trend of decreasing bulk density values as the traffic decreased. With the note that from a statistical perspective, look at the averages, it was perfect with decreasing traffic, but if you look at the statistics, we didn't have a difference between the medium and the light from a statistical perspective. Then, of course, in the heavily trafficked zone, I made note that we had that higher bulk density at the surface than anywhere else, and in fact, we had the equal bulk densities. With that that surface bulk density in the heavily trafficked zone, we're actually approaching route limiting values in that one. When we go into the light traffic and the foot traffic, we get back to that, what we would expect to see, where we have the increasing bulk density with depth in those particular sections. So to conclude things here, we did find significant compaction caused by traffic in these sandy soils, and that compaction did line up with the amounts of traffic. We did approach route-limiting bulk density values. When we talk about sands, certainly by the time you get to 1.8, you're route-limiting in sands. We're at about 1.74, so we're getting up into that range in those highly trafficked areas. Even in the lightly trafficked areas, we're dealing with vehicular traffic, there was statistically significant compaction that took place in those areas, but we didn't see that in that light traffic area. Lightly trafficked area, the foot traffic area. So, do we have time for questions?
Yes, we do.
So I got through all those slides. Yes?
Since these were fairly high sandy soil, did you do any analysis of the kind of sand? Did you have a lot of coarse sand or fine sand?
Yeah, did we fractionate the sand? No, we did not. Had coarser sands. So, we didn't do any fractionation on the sands. So I don't have numbers to give you to show that certain areas maybe had differences, although just from handling the samples, they didn't appear different, but no, we don't have the fractionation. They look pretty uniform from place to place, just from a visual inspection. So, yes? Typical organic matter content out here in these soils is typically 0.5% or less. So it's fairly low.
Eric, how common and how widespread is ATV traffic down in that part of Georgia?
Four-wheeling is a huge recreational activity in that part of Georgia. So.
Not only in Georgia, but in many other states
as well.
And
in fact, I noticed just... It's not this site, but had a class out in a field trip last month going through North Dakota, and as we're coming into Minot, you know, we ran along, you know, miles of a stretch coming up Highway 52 where, you know, there were eight ATV ruts running through the, up and down the hills and through the ditch, and so yeah, just a huge recreational activity.
Are you aware of other studies that have done this type of work and looked at this type of a traffic?
These kinds of traffic differences? We did some literature research on that, but I've got to be honest, at the top of my head, I can't name the studies
so
for you.
Really,
there's,
it's not big
so.
In the literature, but it's obviously a big impact. Another question I have, just before I get the next speaker up here, is in your bulk density sampling, how long were your cores? I'm talking about 3-inch diameter.
Yeah, the 3-inch diameter and 3.5, I think it was 3.5, 4-inch length
okay.
that we're dealing with.
Did you have any difficulties recovering?
Actually didn't.
Okay.
I know with sands can sometimes be an issue, but at this site we didn't have any big problems. Now one of the things we found could help is you go out and you sample when things are moist, and it helps considerably in getting things to stick in the sampling tube.
Yes. Thank you very much, Eric.